Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texter on the Mahomes arm strength. Mahomes factually has the second strongest arm in the league based on miles per hour, and also second strongest in history. This is a ridiculous take. I think there's two different arm strengths, though.
Did you intentionally do a nerd voice there?
No, that's just my normal voice.
okay, I didn't know I was thinking of
that's how I normally sound. I think there's two different arm strengths. I think there's one in terms of like how far you throw a ball, and I think there's zip. I don't think they're always equal, though. Like if you went 1 through 5 in the NFL, who throws the ball the furthest? I don't think those same guys 1 through 5 had the highest zip. I think they're very different things.
I think that's probably accurate. I think you can get someone that can throw it from the outfield to home plate at a certain velocity, but when you're talking about throwing
how far they throw it,
yeah.
Yeah, I think they're two different things. Maybe some math nerds would disagree, but I don't. Like, angle that you throw it matters. Like, how much you're stepping into it matters. I don't think velocity is the same as throwing the ball far. Because Mahomes does have zip. Now, probably 82, 83. I mean, I'd hit it. I'd be able to hit his fastball. But
easy there. I think that when you're talking about the strength of an arm, that's without when your lower body's taken out of it, and you still have the ability to throw the football, you know, to an accurate spot or get it to where it needs to go. You're right. If you get a running start, it's like when Trevor Bauer, when you could wind up, you know, run, get a running start, wind up, and then you throw it against, you know, the wall and you get clocked and it's like 100 and whatever. Okay, cool. But you have to do that by throwing it off the mound. It's a different story.
Yeah, I mean, all those guys have big arms. Like, we're certainly splitting hairs there. But I don't think Mahomes will be top five in just throwing the ball the absolute furthest. All right, this team closer to the Jags, or are they closer to the top teams in the AFC?
I'm telling you, the more I look at them, and I said this because of the fact that I said it against the Cowboys too, this team just gives me vibes that they're closer to a team like the Jaguars, who are underachieving because they had a lot of talent to start the year. They were a playoff team a year ago. Then they are the teams that are the tops in the AFC. When you look at them, they just can't put two sides of the football, two halves. You look at all these different ways that they're an incomplete team from week to week. When one is good, the other is not. D'Amico's even saying about, hey, look, we finally scored points as an offense. Well, your defense was terrible in the second half. You mentioned the fact that Mac Jones was throwing for over 200 and some yards and looking like a starter-worthy quarterback in the NFL. The fact is this team just continues to underachieve and underimpress, and that's what's worrisome to me. If this was early in the season, it'd be one thing. Where we are late in the season with 4 games left on the schedule, it just leads me to believe more and more that this team is just a middle-of-the-road team that's going to get in the playoffs because they had such a everything go their way early in the season. For every other team in the division to lose while you were winning, you built up a lead that you're not going to blow. At the same time, there's just too many weaknesses on this team.
Yeah, respectfully, I'll disagree with the underachieve. I agree with you about the underwhelm. You had the Texans winning 9 or 10 games.
I did.
I mean, they're 8-5.
Right. So I think that I was pretty accurate in the fact that they're going to win 9.
But how are they underachieving to your standard?
Because for most people's standards, it was that they had to go further than they went a year ago. That they had, you know, that there was, this is like the progression. And so now they have to show more progress this year. I was the one harping on the schedule being one of the main reasons why they might not do that. At the same time, I expected more from this team because of what they added, who they added, where they added, and the fact that with a second year of C.J. Stroud, I expected way more out of this offensive line. This offensive line is so underwhelming, it could be the major issue in them not being able to do anything offensively when you're playing good football teams. I think that when you look at the talent on this roster, they should be far better and be putting down on tape far better results than what they're doing.
Yeah, maybe we were just very realistic about what we expected of the Texans. Like, you had them 9 or 10 wins. I had them at 10, I think, in losing in the divisional round.
Brian had them at 16
yeah,
and 1.
Yeah, he had 16 and 1.
11.
Winning the Super Bowl.
11.
I don't think that they're underachieving. I agree with you that the under, at least from our standards, the expectations that some had, I feel like, were too lofty, quite frankly. And the offensive line, to me, is like the biggest reason why. And I do think that they played well against Jacksonville. I think sometimes we overcomplicate sports, really. I think we overcomplicate life, but that's a deeper conversation. I think we overcomplicate sports. Like, what's wrong with the offense? Why is the offense in the middle of the pack in the NFL? Well, Slowick's awful. C.J. Stroud's regressed. Tank Dell's not putting up the numbers. I think it's simply the offensive line's not as good. And whenever you have poor offensive line, it makes life much more difficult on a play caller. It makes life much more difficult on a quarterback. And if a quarterback's life is more difficult, then you start to see the domino effect of everything else around the quarterback. I think we overcomplicate the issues of this offense. I think it's simply offensive line. But the overachieve or underachieving, I don't know if it's more – if it's so much that. And then comparing them to the Jags versus the top teams in the AFC, I mean, they're 6 games better than the Jags. They're 5 games worse than Kansas City. When they've played the top teams, they've been in those games. Like, the top 2 teams that they've played are Buffalo and Detroit. They beat Buffalo, and they're up 16 by Detroit. So I have a hard time saying they're closer to Jacksonville than saying that they're closer to Buffalo, who they literally beat.
And again, yes, you can look at that and say that I'm not arguing what you're saying as not being factual, but at the same time, the eye test tells me that this isn't a top upper echelon AFC team. That what I'm seeing right now and the way that they're playing football doesn't, you know, exude to me a team that is one of the best teams in their conference. And that's what I was expecting. I was expecting, no matter the results of a tough football game against, you know, all the teams on your schedule or not, I was expecting at this point of the season, seeing a more well-oiled machine. You're right. It's like the degrees of separation of Kevin Bacon or all, however you look at it. Everything's connected to the offensive line offensively, although Bobby Slowick is under heat and the play calling comes into effect and all those things factor in as well. But at a certain point, you expect the whole plan to come together, and you see that they're starting to progress to the point where late in the season, they're going to play their best football. They're going to look like a team that's one of the better teams in their conference.
You're kind of moving the goalpost, though. Like, you said that they're closer to the Jags than they are the top teams in the AFC. Now you're saying they're not an upper echelon team in the AFC. Like, it's, to me, it's a scale. On this spectrum, you have Jacksonville. On this spectrum, you have the top teams in the AFC. Where are the Texans on that bar graph? I think that they're closer to the top teams in the AFC than they are the Jags.
Maybe, but to me, maybe.
Would you consider the Ravens a top team in the AFC? Yes.
I would, yeah.
Because they have the same record.
Yeah.
Right, okay. But at the same time, would you take, is there any, you're taking the Ravens or the Texans on a neutral field?
Yeah, but again, you're moving the goalposts. Like, are they closer to the Ravens or the Jags, though?
But I'm saying, I guess, and I'm basing most of this on the expectations of the majority of the fan base, not necessarily our predictions at the start of the year. But what I see with the eye test when I look at this football team is a team that isn't where I think they should be if they're going to be one of the upper.
You're kind of all over the place right now. Like, to me, again, you're moving the goalpost here.
Okay. One of the big factors that they're catching in terms of where they rate in the conference is the rest of the teams in the there's a lot of teams in the conference that underachieved. I think they're also one of those teams that's underachieved, but they're going to win their division. They're going to be a playoff team. And so I think that it's disappointing to me because I expected to see more at this point in the season out of this football team.
And you're looking at more eye tests. And I quite frankly, I expected the team to look better. The results and their records about where I had it and probably where it's going to end up, but I would agree that you expected it to look better on a consistent basis. What confuses me, though, about them is that they seem to play to the standard of their competition. They play Buffalo. They beat them. They're playing Detroit. They're up 16. But then you lose to the Titans. You're in a one-possession game against the Jags. I think the bigger issue, and again, I think that they are closer to the top teams in the AFC than they are the Jags, but they play to their competition. They're in games against Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. They lose a game against Tennessee. They lose at New York, and then they beat Buffalo. They should have beat Detroit. So they're bipolar. Like, they're a weird team. And it probably leads to the inconsistency of them in a variety of different levels, offensively starting with the offensive line. And then defensively, I think they're prone to the big play. And then they're undisciplined. Like, you look at all the penalties that they have, and it's an issue. Although it was better yesterday.
It was better yesterday, but they were untimely. The undisciplined things reared their head again in terms of, yes, there wasn't excessive penalties, but the penalty, like the penalty on Stover for offensive offsides, which takes away and negates a big play by Nico that might have resulted in, you know, in a touchdown or a better scoring drive. I don't even remember if they got points off that drive. But at the same time, it's those kind of things. It's the fact that we've been through this with El Shaair, regardless of what we've already talked about at length in terms of the hit itself. He's got to be smarter to realize they're a much better football team when he's on the field. The fact that he already did this once this year where he extended after the actual play in question. He went into their bench. He was swinging. He punched Roshan Johnson in the face mask.
Mess around, find out.
But again... This is like the old philosophy that NBA coaches used to have with a goon on the end of their bench that would go in there just to pick a fight with the best player on the other team.
Yeah.
And if the best player was stupid enough to bite on it, then they win at the end of the day because they get the best player thrown out and a guy that's not very good.
No, he's going to hurt them against Miami. Like, there's no arguing that. I agree with that viewpoint. But if you know this is who Azeez Alshire is, like, you're not going to change who Ron Artest is. You know what I mean? You're not going to trade what Vernon Maxwell was. Like, he was Mad Max. He wasn't not so Mad Max. And you take that knowing that he is Mad Max. D'Amico knows who Azeez Alshire is. He knows he's capable of committing a personal foul. He knows he's capable of getting a one-game suspension if, you know, things go against him. Would you rather have that Azeez Alshire or not have that Azeez Alshire?
No, I love Alshire, and I've said that. But I think that overall, that's a microcosm of the bigger picture, which is the undisciplined nature of the fact that the penalties were supposed to be, we were told they're going to be fixed. It's going to be resolved. And it hasn't been resolved in weeks on weeks on weeks where they led the league in penalties. I don't know if they still lead the league in penalties. It probably helped that they only had three.
I think they're second.
I thought they said on the broadcast third, but either way, they're way up there.
It starts there. It's also the fact that, you know, it just seems like this coaching staff is going to say the right things in front of the microphones, but are they truly doing what D'Amico said he's going to do this time with El Shaair? Sit them down, go one-on-one, go face-to-face, have the hard conversation.
Well, he had his back today.
The same way with the offensive line. Are you sitting there and literally having these really tough conversations about whether you want to blame yourself or blame the group as a unit? You have to be better. This is what we have to do. This is what we have to stop doing. It just seems like there's a level of not undisciplined coaching that's been going on all season long.
I mean, they were fourth in penalties last year.
Right.
They were third. They're third in penalties right now. So I mean, the proof's in the pudding. Like that's fact.
It's hard not label D'Amico's team as an undisciplined team.
I would love to push back and love to argue because that's kind of what I do. I can't hear. That's the trump card. All right, 713-780-ESPN HRMP listener line. Let's talk about C.J. Stroud. What do we think of C.J. Stroud's performance yesterday? Grade him! 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I have a love-hate whenever you make coffee.
Why?
Because I drink all of it.
Oh.
I haven't stopped drinking it.
It's pretty good today.
I just drink it nonstop. Brian doesn't like coffee at all.
Does it affect you like when you sleep?
No.
See, later in the day, that's right.
It just makes my heart palpate or whatever that word is. Palpate?
I think it's palpitate.
Palpitate?
I think it's palpitate.
Too many syllables. That's way
what, three?
Too many syllables. Yeah, I can't.
Syllables.
Anything more than two is tough for me. I'm a guy who talks for a living. 713-780-ESPN. Great CJ Stroud. A couple of texts on the previous conversation. No discipline equals poor coaching. It's hard to argue. Make no mistake about this Texans team. It's the 2016 Astros ahead of schedule like last year. Still growing into the finished product. Tyler and Conroe. I hope that Tyler and Conroe is right.
I do, too. I just think that sometimes along the way, like this was a year when it might be the only year that you have Diggs. I mean,
well, you don't have Diggs anymore.
That's what I'm saying. And you don't have him. And you don't know if you're going to have him going forward. But I do agree as a whole that this team, the clock got sped up because of how fast they progressed last year. That doesn't mean they're going to take a step back no matter what the end result is of this season. There's still enough talent on this roster. They can continue to get better. It's just that expectations were set pretty high this year because of what happened and how quickly they sped it up.
Yeah. I guess if you're making the case that they're the 16 Astros, you need a lot of player development because you're probably in a better position this past year of signing free agents. Like, you got Danielle Hunter. Mm-hmm. You made the trade for Diggs. You acquired Joe Mixon.
Autry.
Like, they're not going to have the financial flexibility this coming offseason that they had this past offseason. So how do they grow like the Astros did? It would have to be because C.J. Stroud becomes the top three quarterback in the NFL. Will Anderson's the best pass rusher in the NFL. Derek Stingley's the best corner in the NFL. Nico Collins goes from a top seven receiver to a top three receiver. I think all those things are in play, but they're going to have more financial flexibility last offseason than they will this offseason.
Yeah, because you spent on Elshayer, you spent on Autry, you were spending pretty freely to get some of the top names that were out there. Yes, you're going to hit on defense because it looks like Bullock and Lassiter are going to be above average players, and that's great.
Uh-huh.
But you also missed on like your offensive line, on some of your offensive line draft picks, and that's going to hurt you because you know that's one area that they're going to have to try and improve in the offseason.
I guess the Astros though wanted more of a player development than veteran mm-hmm. signings. They had some shrewd ones, Beltran,
right.
You know, because it taught them the cheating thing.
How to cheat, yeah.
And then McCann, but it was mostly the homegrown talent.
Did they sign Marwin, or did they trade for him?
They traded. That was the first move that Jeff Luno ever made.
Okay.
Jeff Luno's first ever player acquisition was Marwin Gonzalez.
Huh.
Yeah. 9900, if the coffee's causing heart palpitations, you should probably stop. I know, but I'm a fiend, I'm addicted, and I can't do it. Do the Texans beat the Steelers at home in the playoffs?
Ooh.
At home, I think that they – it's a 50-50 game. 50-50 game. It's a coin flip, I think.
Might be the best defense they've played this year.
They didn't look great yesterday against the Bengals.
I think
the Jets have a better defense, actually.
Not now.
I think that they do still. I looked it up this
it's
morning.
It's crazy that
Jets are top three.
We think about the fact that we were worried last year about the Steelers' pass rush.
Yeah, but it's full season.
We were worried last year about the Steelers' pass rush when they came in after – I think it was through 2 weeks. The Texans had given up 11 sacks and looked like the worst offensive line. And then
right.
they held. This year, coming up, having that defense come in against that offensive line, that would be a major concern.
Jets are fourth. Now, I mean, total yards. I mean, it could kind of be, misconstrued. But Jets are fourth. Steelers are seventh. They've played a team that's in the top three.
Lions or Vikings?
Neither one.
Bills?
Nope.
Wait a minute. Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Tennessee Titans, second in the NFL in total defense. Philadelphia's number one. What would that spread be? Pittsburgh at NRG against the Texans in the first round of the playoffs.
Texans 2.5.
Now Pittsburgh
that's
is
kind of what I'd lean.
Pittsburgh is leading the division for what it's worth, so that wouldn't be the matchup currently. You said Texans 2.5? Mm-hmm. I was going to put it like 1.5. 1.5. I mean, it's the same ballpark.
Yeah.
But I think they would be favored in that game.
I do. I think they'd be favored by less than a field goal.
Yep.
I think it'd be a that's not a coin flip, but I think it'd be very, very close to a coin flip. Too many penalties, poor coaching, preseason upgrades, a receiver and offensive line next year were supposed to be strengths. Oh, he's talking about this year. But now weaknesses, now can they coach up what they have? Doesn't seem likely. I think at this point of the year, you're kind of who you are.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at it from a 16 Astros comparison thing, you're going to have to make some shrewd offseason moves, and they won't have the finances.
So to your point on who they would match up with, though, who scares you more? Do you have a better chance to beat the Chargers or the Steelers?
I'd rather face – now both.
I'd rather play Pittsburgh than I would – play the
that one's tough. I think they're very similar. I'll agree with that.
Chargers have a good defense too, though.
They do.
And
I think Herbert
scares me more
than
Russ.
That's exactly where I was going.
Yeah.
I think the coaching is about even. Herbert scares me more. Both have
great coaches. There's no doubt about that. I just think that Herbert at this stage in his career would worry me a lot more than Russell Wilson.
Right now you'd be playing the Chargers.
Yeah.
In the first round.
That's what I said. Yeah. Texans
definitely favored there. Probably more than field goal.
Texans got to make sure they win the division. I think it's the same. I think it's
about a point
two,
more.
2.5 maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I could see
3.5.
I could see 3 at home against the Chargers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Point and a half is probably fair. Yep. Pittsburgh and Chargers on a neutral field. Who's favored?
Steelers.
I don't know.
I think it's a maybe.
I think
half
one,
a point.
I think it'd be one and a half. I think Chargers.
I think it'd be 1.5 Steelers.
Texans has got to make the playoffs first.
They're going to make the playoffs.
Okay. All right. 713-780.
I'm going to die on that hill.
This is a guy that had the glass overwhelmingly overflowing.
I know. I told you. I'm dying on the hill. I'm fully aware.
They're scheduled the rest of the way. Dolphins at home, at Kansas City, Baltimore at home, at Tennessee.
Dolphins without Elshayer is a difference.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough because they throw the ball and they throw it over the middle. And the Texans already struggle with stuff over the middle.
Yep.
Like that is going to be a big loss for them. All right, C.J. Stroud performance yesterday. What'd you think? Grade it.
Man, I already said I thought he held on to the ball too long. I thought there were some throws that he normally makes he didn't make. He got the win, but it was, to me, it was underwhelming. I wanted to see more against a defense that bad. I'm going to give him a C+.
Yeah, I could see where people would be a little bit down, even in a win. Like, the Jags' defense isn't very good. You got good protection. Like, yeah. I saw DJ tweet that he was averaging, like, 3 seconds to throw per drop back, and it's very high for where the Texans have been. He was 22 of 34, 242 yards, touchdown, no picks. A couple of the notes that I had on his performance, for one, C.J. Stroud, I felt that he was much more decisive, actually. I thought he was making smarter plays. I thought he was quick getting rid of the football. There were a few times, like Brian was talking about earlier, where he was able to escape pressure, made some nice plays. He made one against the grain where he was in the grasp. That was an amazing play.
Oh, where he dumped it off to Nico?
Yeah, but yeah, I think there was a holding penalty in the secondary where the play didn't even count.
That's
yeah.
the one where the guy was in his face ready to sack him, and he somehow got the ball off.
I think
he bear-hugged
him. Yeah, he had a bear hug.
Somehow got the ball off and got it where it needed to go.
Amazing play. And there was one as well where
that's
he like—
arm strength, Jeremy.
He's got good arm strength. Yeah. There was another one where he was able to escape through with either the B or C gap, I can't remember, get to the sideline. And, like, I've been frustrated with C.J. Stroud running too quickly because I think he's doing a good job sometimes of escaping the pocket when there's pressure in the pocket, and he'll just run across the line of scrimmage as opposed to extending the play out, not crossing the line of scrimmage.
Or stepping up and over.
Sure, just don't cross the line of scrimmage. Right, that's the main thing. Don't cross the line of scrimmage, because what happens the moment you cross the line of scrimmage, you lose the ability to throw the football. And I think he's been crossing the line of scrimmage too quickly at times, trying to be like this dual-threat quarterback that Joe Mixon wants him to be. I want him to extend the play longer and allow his receivers to get open. And there was another play where he was able to do that. So I thought he made some good plays in that front. They were 5 for 13 on third downs. That's a win. They were 1 for 1 on their only fourth down conversion. I thought that he was pretty good. I will give him a B. And then you won the game. You won the game. So I give him a B.
Yeah, I think the grade on the curve factor plays in here because it's such a bad defense you're facing. But, you know, you pass for a good amount of yards. You're decently efficient, you know, with your completions, and you didn't turn the ball over. The only thing that kind of nags in my mind and holds me back is that play that we talked about earlier where he had Schultz wide open in the flat and took a sack and knocked him out of field goal range. To me, that drops him down a little bit for me. I would have probably put him at a B, but I'm going to knock it down to a B minus strictly on that play. It was bad quarterbacking.
Hey, I'm going to look for that one on the
film. I believe it was second drive of the game.
Second drive of the game?
I'm pretty sure.
You're talking about the one where it took him out of field goal range?
It was definitely
one of the first couple drives of the game.
Wide open in the flat. Could have dropped it off, picked up 5-6 yards, had an easy field goal.
The offense was stagnant in the first half.
It was 6-3 at halftime.
Now, I do give them credit, though, for finishing strong. Give them credit for finishing strong.
Well, part of the stagnation in the first half was, though, they couldn't run the ball between the tackles. The only success they had run the ball was on the edge.
Yep. Well, and even then they struggled early, and then they started figuring some things out, moving the tight end in motion.
Right.
Just kind of really helped get to the edge. But for sure they struggled. I thought one of the great, to CJ's credit, once he realized he had that time, though, there was some great video that they had of him where you could actually look at his eyes and see him going through the progressions. And the fact that, to DJ's point, he had time to get through his first four or five progressions and still go back and find guys. But to your point on Schultz, he also missed Joe Mixon a couple of times when he had the easy dump down and thought there was a bigger play to be had, and then they ended up getting nothing.
Texture, the Texans are closer to the Jags because it would be easier for them to be a worse team than a top one, because to become a top team, they wouldn't just have to swap out players. They would need better coaches. So that texture's out on the Houston Texans coaching staff. Another texture, I'm much more worried about Wilson's deep ball than anything Herbert does. Herbert would choke in the playoffs. He's been in the playoffs, and he didn't choke against Trevor Lawrence.
One playoff appearance, and he gave up a 20-point lead? Something like that?
Yeah, it was like the 20-something
point lead, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know he
threw. Lawrence had like, what, 4 or 5 interceptions?
It was a tale of two halves.
And then Herbert threw 4 interceptions in the second half.
Neither quarterback wanted to win. Trevor Lawrence was the worst playoff quarterback ever in the first half. And then Herbert's like, here you go, hold my beer. I got it here in the second. Texter's giving you some grief here, Blankers. Texans favored against Pittsburgh, but they're closer to the Jaguars? Question mark?
I think they're a talented team.
Good job, Texter.
But I think that they disappoint me in terms of what the eye test shows me.
713-780
ESPN. I also don't believe that much in the Steelers.
Who are you giving game balls to? 713-780-3776. Who gets a game ball for their performance? You can count Thanksgiving games, too, because we weren't on the air yet. So who do you get your game balls to in Week 13 of the NFL season? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from mybookie.ag. Still got a football game tonight, an NFL game. If you're feeling a certain kind of way and you want to put some money down on it, I recommend you go to mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag is the place you want to be because they take care of you all the time while you're trying to bet on sports or play casino games. They have all the sports all the time, and you can bet on them. They have live in-game betting as well. They've got chats on their website and their app so that you can chat with like-minded individuals as you're looking to put money down. And they're always trying to find out ways that they can take care of you as a customer. Therefore, they're doing it again with a sign-up bonus. If you sign up for the first time with mybookie.ag, they're going to double what you put in up to $1,000. You put $100 in, they'll put $100 on top of it. Suddenly, you get $200 in your account almost instantaneously, and that means more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances you can win. And they've got all the games and all the sports, as I mentioned, like soccer, like UFC, like golf, like all NBA basketball, and college and pro football. But on top of all that, even if there's not games going on, or if you don't feel like betting on sports, but you feel like getting your gambling on, you don't have to fly to Vegas or drive to Louisiana. You can bet with casino games right there with live dealers standing by on mybookie.ag. That's right, your blackjack and your poker, and so much more. They take care of you, and they've also got a tiered rewards program. The more you play, the higher the tiers you can get to, the better rewards you're going to get with MyBookie Plus. But to get all these things unlocked, when you go to MyBookie.ag, you got to use our promo code. It's BET975. Anytime and every time that they ask you for a code, if you use BET975, you're literally going to cash in. They're fantastic. They've been in business for over a decade. They want to take care of you as a customer. So if you're thinking about betting on sports and signing up with an online program, I suggest you go to mybookie.ag where you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. Mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5.
Try to be best because you're only a man and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe though the going gets rough that you got to hang tough to make it.
You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Hey, Alpi Shingun, NBA Player of the Week in the Western Conference. How about that from Alpi? We're going to talk a lot about the Rockets this week. I think we're just going to jump all in on the Rockets. Why not?
Should. I mean, look, that was the game of the year last night. For them.
Yeah, for them. Big win. Big win over the Thunder. Yeah, we're gonna be all in on the Rockets. I think we're gonna commit to the Rockets. We're gonna be first. Might not be right, but we're gonna be first. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Who are you giving game balls to? 713-780-3776. What you got, Blinkers?
Well, we'll start with a shout out to our loyal Steelers fan, Tamara. Russell Wilson was unbelievable yesterday, no matter what you think of where Russell Wilson is in his career. If he throws for 414 yards and 3 touchdowns in an NFL game, I don't care how bad Cincinnati's defense is.
And they are awful.
Yeah, that's worthy of a game ball.
You know, I thought Russell Wilson was overrated 2 years ago, and I was right. I think he's underrated now. I think Russell Wilson's underrated now.
I think that's true. I could not believe I heard Rex Ryan continually stand on his soapbox yesterday and say that he still wants Justin Fields. Because if you watch anything and know anything about it,
who said that?
Rex Ryan yesterday on Sunday Countdown. He still wants and believes in Justin Fields more than Russell Wilson. I don't know how you can say that, no matter how much you question when Tomlin made the switch.
Tomlin was
Russell
right.
Wilson has been unbelievable. He's changed the complexion of the entire offense just the way he's played all year, and I do believe he's underrated this year.
Yeah, he was very good.
People
yesterday.
Thought he was washed.
Yeah, I mean, he was. And then he, like, got rewashed somehow. Aziz Alshire gets a game ball. It's easier to beat a backup quarterback. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, because we don't give game balls to Texans. This is an NFL segment. That's the only reason I wouldn't give a game ball to Aziz. Sam LaPorta, 2-touchdown game for Sam LaPorta. Now, it's an interesting game.
I mean, he had, like, what, 13
yards? No, not even that. Not even half of that. Sam LaPorta had 3 catches for 6 yards and 2 touchdowns. Ugh. This is why fantasy football is stupid. Yeah. Yes, I'm in 199 fantasy football leagues. But he had 3 catches for 6 yards and 2 touchdowns.
And he had an amazing day for fantasy.
Amazing day. He had 3 catches and 6 yards. Oh, but he fell in the paint twice.
Yeah. That's crazy.
What a day for Sam LaPorta.
Speak of another fantasy football
DJ Reader, 2 sacks, by the way.
Yeah, former Texan.
Former Texan, yeah.
Another fantasy football anomaly I'm going to give my first game ball to, because it helped me, and I loved it. Josh Allen became the first quarterback in NFL history to throw a touchdown, run for a touchdown, and receive a touchdown. And on one play, he got credit for both a passing touchdown and a receiving touchdown. Two touchdowns on one play. Thank you, Josh Allen.
But he did not get credit for a catch.
Not the catch, yeah, because I believe it was Amari Cooper caught the ball and then pitched
laterally,
it to him.
Yep.
So Cooper got the catch, but Allen, because it was a pass, got a receiving touchdown that he also threw to himself.
Yeah, he got a double on that.
Yeah.
A double banger, as the boys in the morning would call
it. He scored three touchdowns, got credit for four.
Is he the first to ever do that?
First quarterback.
I find that, okay. I still find that hard to believe.
Running backs have done it. Like,
yeah, they said that there's like a handful of guys.
Yeah, LaDainian Tomlinson's done it, and there's, I think, another running back that, like, in recent, like, post-2000 that has done it. I think, Christian McCaffrey's done it.
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
Josh Allen's the first one.
You see his MVP odds?
He's got to be one at this point,
I think it's like minus 350.
He's got to be one. Saquon's going to get love, rightfully so. I think Lamar's out. They're only 8-5.
It's been a big year for Josh Allen. Engaged.
Yeah.
Probably going to win MVP.
He's
going to flame out in the postseason. Yeah, it was from she was from The Sopranos, wasn't she?
I don't know who he got engaged to, so I couldn't tell you.
It's like Steinbrenner.
Haley Steinfeld, I think.
Beats me.
Who's your next game ball to?
I'm going to go with Bucky Irving.
Good one.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he basically ran his tail off. 152 yards and a touchdown, set him up in overtime after the turnover. Got the Buccaneers a win against a very scrappy Carolina team. And Carolina got hosed on a call. Adam Thielen touchdown looked like legit. And even after replay, they didn't give it to him. But Bucky Irving was pretty damn good for the Bucs.
I love Bucky Irving. That was a great pick. I'm going to bang the table this offseason for the Houston Texans to use some draft capital on a running back.
Well, the value of a running back is going up again.
They've got no depth.
Like, think about it, too. Like, look at some of the better teams in the NFL. They, not all of them, some of them have two running backs. Look at the Lions. Their weapons. Like, stop looking at them as running backs. Start looking at them as offensive weapons. You can play Joe Mixon and another young running back.
Yep.
The Buccaneers are doing it. Rashad White's not terrible. He's not great, but he's not
a better
bad.
Receiver than runner.
Yeah, that combination's doing a lot of good things. They've lost.
Even Sean Tucker.
Well, but look at Kansas City. You lose Pacheco, but you're able to go out and get a Kareem Hunt, and Kareem Hunt has more than carried his own while Pacheco was out, and you can go to both of them now.
Yeah, I believe in offensive weapons. I feel like this whole running back shouldn't be paid. No, offensive weapons. Do you wish the Texans would have signed Saquon Barkley this year instead of Stephon Diggs?
Does the Cowboys, in retrospect, wish that they would have signed a Derrick Henry instead of saying he wouldn't fit their system?
You get a little Henry and Dowdle. Not bad. Yeah, I think that the Texans should draft the running back.
Well, did you see that of the four best running backs in the NFL?
There's three.
Three of them were
Saquon and
Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs, yeah.
Yeah, three of them were just out there on the open market for anybody to go get.
I mean, Mixon was even on the open market. Now, not, of course,
he was
like
traded
in that
for
class.
Right, but he was going to be on the open market.
Yeah, I mean, anybody could have traded for him. Terry McLaurin.
Had him on my list.
Eight catches, 73 yards, two touchdowns, and a win over the hungover Titans. Titans won their Super Bowl last week. They got fat and happy after winning their Super Bowl last week, and then they got boat raced by the Commanders.
Yep, he's on my list.
You stole mine, but I'll go to a Thanksgiving game, and you just mentioned the name Rico Dowdle. I mean, he was great on Thursday. Rushed for, 112 and got a touchdown, and the Cowboys went over the Giants.
I'm going to go Ladd McConkey. Didn't have a touchdown, but 117 yards receiving.
The number one.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is the guy has been fantastic all season long, and a main reason why that the Chargers are as good as they are, but he had a phenomenal football game.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Next one on my list. Did y'all mention James Cook yet? I was Googling I was Googling who Jamie Lynn Sigler was dating. She used to date Mark Sanchez. I got Mark Sanchez and Josh Allen.
Now she's doing commercials for all the different drug companies that do to help you get out of health problems. And everybody used to think she was like a sex symbol.
Oh, yeah?
The one from The Sopranos, yeah. I forget.
You're talking about the actress that played Tony's daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
She used to date Mark Sanchez.
I didn't know that.
I got her confused for Haley Steinfeld. I shouldn't have done that. It's a bad mistake. Haley Steinfeld's best known for her work in True Grit and Pitch Perfect. And apparently Spider-Man. True Grit's a great movie. I don't remember her in those movies at all.
That's the John Wayne remake?
Well, yeah. That was about a decade ago. She must have been a child at that point, right?
Oh, you know what? Now I do remember her. She was the child.
Yeah, she was the child.
I do remember that.
Yeah, because that movie's...
I've been watching Landman.
Oh, yeah, the Amazon Prime show with Billy Bob?
No, it's on Paramount.
Oh, okay.
Highly recommend.
It's Billy Bob, though, right?
Yeah, Billy Bob's
Yeah.
Highly recommend. Weird at times, but I highly recommend it. James Cook, 14, 107, and 1. Really
and
good game.
One touchdown
James
was... Cook. Oh, man, that was
a
so
fun game
fun
to watch.
It was fun to watch, but you got to sympathize. They were right. Collinsworth was right. You can't change directions in that snow. I mean, it is just straight line everything from routes run to the way
Bills
running back.
Do it, 49ers.
Yeah,
did.
That's exactly right.
Although Christian McCaffrey was killing them until he got hurt. Every time they hand the ball to him, he was getting 6-7 yards or more.
I posted the video. It looked like his calf exploded, and then they said it was his knee, and he hit it on the play previous.
I don't know.
Can it be
like
both?
The classic non-contact.
Yeah.
Like, the second he took the snap, he just crumpled.
He sure did.
I mean, they never lie about injuries in San Francisco, though, so I take them for their word. What's next for you, Brian?
I'll give one because I know Joe won't do it. I'll give it to Jordan Love, 274-2, and the Packers win on over the Dolphins on Thanksgiving night. Okay. The Packers not limping into the playoffs, Joe. Not limping in.
They almost did. They almost coughed that game back up. They let the Dolphins get too close for a while. Then they luckily got a fourth down stop.
Oh, no. Come on. They're not going to limp in.
One more around the horn.
Mike Evans also, 118 yards. And
you gave two game balls to the Buccaneers?
I meant to mention it when I mentioned Bucky Irving, and we went by him too fast.
I'll give my last game ball to Tarheeb Steele. Two interceptions, pick six, three PBUs. Tarheeb Steele should win.
What team does he play for?
Tarheeb Steele should win the defensive player of the week. You don't know what team Tarheeb Steele plays for?
Nope.
I bet you Behanna knows which team Tarheeb Steele plays for. That's right. He was the best player. You know the Chargers did not have an offensive touchdown.
Yeah.
They won that game without an offensive touchdown. You know who led them in touchdowns?
Tarheeb Steele.
Yeah. Tarheeb Steele, my game ball. Tarheeb.
My last one goes to Saquon Barkley. I think the only other person that could take MVP from Josh Allen. Another great, not as great as obviously running for like 250 against the Commanders the week before, but 107 yards and a touchdown in their win over the Ravens.
I don't know. Don't count Lamar out yet. His mama said he needs to run more, and he said he's coming out with a vengeance after
five,
the bye.
8-5 is not, I mean, he's. I think he's out of the MVP race.
Hot take. Josh Allen wins the MVP. Saquon Barkley wins the Offensive Player of the Year.
I can see
that
for sure. Yeah,
because
the MVP is not a running back award.
For
sure, I
can see that. Exactly how it's going to go.
The texter says Joe Mixon game ball made history. What history did he make?
I
don't know if he made history because they said, I think they said 5+. There's only 3 running backs in the history of the NFL that went 5+ road games with 100 yards and a touchdown. And everybody would assume because this was his 6th that he surpassed them. I don't know if that's the case, because I thought the graphic said 5+.
Yeah, that's a weird stat. It's like doing the 3-legged sack race on Sundays to break a tie. Like, you're starting to go down in the weeds.
He needed that last rush, too, that got it, that closed out the victory to barely squeak over 100.
And the last one, Bowers, best tight end of the game right now, 10 for 140 and a touchdown. Yeah, but we don't give game balls to losers,
nope.
Texter. Although he is a stud.
All right. Mark Andrews is starting to look better and better late in the season, too.
I'm going to win that bet.
I'm going to lose that bet. It's a bad bet, Brandon. All right, car wreck of the day. Who you nominating for car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. B's on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, one final word for Doc Linville and his staff because of the fact that he can get your hair back when you think that it's gone and it can only be forgotten. You get your hair back thanks to the good people that work with Doc Linville, and he is the best in the business. He's right here in the Med Center. I had a consultation with him because he saw me at an event here at ESPN 97.5 and said, I want to sit down with you, explain what we can do. I was like, okay. And I hadn't really thought about it because I just figured my hair was long gone and my hairline was going to be a 4-head, an 8-head, and then a 16-head, and eventually it would be all gone. And when he explained to me the NeoGraft procedure and the PRP treatments that can help keep the hair that you have and put hair where you don't have it anymore, I was intrigued. And the more I thought about it and the more I talked it over with my wife, it became crystal clear that this is something that isn't just a gimmick. It probably is something that I should consider doing. And then I eventually did it. And like John Granato, and John helped and talked me through it too, because he's had the procedure, it's phenomenal. The NeoGraft works. It's your own hair, and it grows in the same direction as the rest of your hair. It's the same color. It's going to be stronger and longer, and because he takes it from a place that you're never going to lose it, genetically I found out in my consultation, you never lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other areas. So that's where he takes some of it to put where you need it most. And because he takes every third or fourth follicle, you still have plenty of coverage on the sides and the back, but you get coverage where you didn't have it previously, and now you're extremely pleased because you have all the hair that you lost. You have a better look, and you have more self-confidence because of it. He can do the same thing for you that he did for me, and it starts with a consultation that you get for free. You're listening to me. You want to talk to him and get the information. You don't have to pay $150 like people off the street to get the consultation. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com and sign up for a free consultation. Nothing out of pocket, no signing on the dotted line, no commitment to be made, just a Q&A session after they explain to you how they can help. They'll show you pictures of others like me and show you where I was and now where I am thanks to the good people at Doc Linville. Check him out and tell him I sent you by because he can help you too. Go to 975hair.com, get a free consultation, and see if the NeoGraft and PRP treatments might be right for you.
ESPN
97.5. You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give you all f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the Car Wreck of the Day.
All right, what do you nominate for Car Wreck of the Day? 713-780-ESPN. The Boss and the Gloss coming up from 6 to 8. As well.
Two-hour extravaganza.
It's going to be good. I mean, a lot to talk about today. I wonder their takes on Aziz Alshire. That's going to be interesting. I'm fascinated by that.
Carla can go off. If she knows her stuff. I'll be interested to hear that.
Why wouldn't
well.
She know her stuff?
No, she knows her stuff, and she's not afraid to say it.
If you say it like she shouldn't know
No,
her stuff.
You're trying to start something that's not there.
All right.
You saw the grass covering the pit, and you almost walked right into it, Joel.
And then I avoided it.
What are you nominating for Car Wreck of the Day?
Sorry, Brian. Justin Tucker. I mean,
it's the end.
He's the greatest kicker in NFL history.
Isn't it fitting? Like he's melting down at the when the A&M Texas rivalry came back. That's kind of what launched him into stardom, hitting that walk off, and now he's fading away when he came back.
Did you see the bleep starters too? That started to say this all started when he messed around with Mahomes in warm-ups that game, and they ran a stat karma. That said he was a 90% accuracy kicker before he screwed with Mahomes pregame, and now he's a 73% kicker.
Yeah, he's been awful. There's no way around it.
I think they win that game. He was responsible for, what, 7 points? Two field goals and a missed extra point?
Something like that, yeah.
Do you bring in a new kicker?
I don't think you can.
Why not? You're trying to win.
Amendola. Yeah, exactly.
Before I knew what the outcome of the game was when he missed the second field goal after missing the other two kicks, I was like, do you just IR him and let him get right for next year? And
you give
and
him
bring
Jose Abreu, send him to Miami?
Just say like he pulled something.
Hang out with the family?
Yeah. But, you still honor the fact that he's been so nails for you his entire career. But it could cost him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't think that they're going to move on from either, especially Harbaugh, special teams guy. I'm going to nominate the Bears. How do you let Eberflus talk to the media and then you fire him?
That was bad
fire
luck.
Somebody with class, please. Don't make them work on the day that you're firing them. That was bad.
That was an awful look because he was already saying how they were working on things.
Brutal.
Yeah, that was terrible.
What are you nominating, Brian?
John McClain for saying Aziz's hit was the worst hit in NFL history. I side on the side of that it was dirty and that Aziz could avoid it, but worst hit in NFL history?
That's where my biggest content was. Dirty, late, hear ya. Worst all ever? Fair. Come on, man. Alex Carwreck of the day, the wide receiver that pushed Aziz in the back while he was on the ground. Be a man, wait till he gets up and is looking at him soft.
You mean,
I like that.
That was Evan Ingram.
It was Ingram.
It was Ingram.
Car Wreck of the Day, the overreaction from the Aziz Alshire hit. That's from Josh from Seabrook. I nominate the tradition that dates back to 1907. The Texas A&M Yell Leaders. Paul went off on them. And then Ohio State, Car Wreck of the Day. What's winning?
Guys, I don't know how you can fight with anything other than John McClain.
Congrats, John. You winner. You win it. Car Wreck of the Day belongs to you. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He's blank on Brandon. Talk to you tomorrow. Boston the Gloss right now on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin. Grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com. Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.